This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The Otho Show on Joy 94.9.
Interviews, current affairs and events from across Victoria.
Also is
your community hub.
And hello and welcome to The Otho Show. I'm Kath Duncan.
And I'm Crusader Hillis.
Coming up today, an hour of politics, culture and events across Victoria. This week, we're going to be catching up with a local Greens candidate who could well take the seat of Richmond at the upcoming state election. We'll be hearing about a regional anti-homophobia travelling educational show and exploring two exciting arts events which combine a sort of edgy entertainment with some great messages on enjoying your sexual health.
And starting off the show today, we're actually taking a bit of a detour and we're doing our Outback There section first up. And we've got Daniel Whithouse on the phone. Hello, Daniel.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Now, Daniel, you're a gay rights activist and education activist, and you've been on a 38-week tour, which I think you're probably about 34 weeks in, too?
Yeah, absolutely, that's correct. Week 34 finds me in Gippsland.
Wow.
What's going on?
I hear you're about to go into a school in Bairnsdale quite in a few minutes.
Literally in about 15 to 20 minutes' time, I'll be popping in and speaking to some teachers and most likely some students, too, so It's all go down here in Bairnsdale this morning.
Now, the series that you're presenting is called Beyond That's So Gay. Making a bit of a pun about it, how does that go down with school students? How do you convey that?
Yeah, look, there's usually two ways that people go about it. They can either kind of go the discipline kind of lecture way, or they can use it as an educational opportunity. So what I do is I basically talk to them about things like language. Obviously, I don't go in, and that's not the very first thing I talk about. But the point that we get to is about that's so gay, and whether or not they think that that would have an impact on other people. And most of the time, they kind of would say, this is something that we don't necessarily mean in that way. It's just a word. And then we kind of talk about the fact, is it just a word, and what impact that can have on young people around them.
Do you see it making a difference while you're talking about it? What sort of feedback do you get while you're doing it?
I guess this tour, I've spent the last decade working with students, and so I know the feedback is that they, we know from both research evidence from some of the programs that I've delivered in schools, as well as the anecdotal stuff, is that students go, okay, we've thought about this, and come to think of it, you're absolutely right, we shouldn't be saying this, and, I've got people that I know, or, people who I could know who'd be, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, so this is not the kind of language that I really want to be using. But the majority of my work this year has been with skilling up teachers and health professionals, because I can only go to so many schools, I can only work with so many students. These are, teachers and health professionals who are hearing this day in, day out. What everyone is saying across the country is that that's so gay and faggot and things like this are rife, and they don't feel that they have the skills to do it. So what I'm trying to do is to start conversations and give people the strategies and the resources to nip it in the bud. And this is, this is something that, well-trained educators can do themselves.
Now, you've been travelling across various states, and it's all been in rural, regional, outback areas. Can you give us a bit of an indication of what it was like when you went up to Northern Territory and down through Western Australia?
Yeah, look, a lot of people, Western Australia was actually interesting because the people in Perth said, are you flying straight to Darwin or are you driving from sort of Perth to Darwin? I said, I'm actually driving. And they said, you can't do that, like as if I was going to be killed or run out of town in places like the Pilbara and all these mining towns. What I found was most of the people that I spoke to said, it's about bloody time. Thank you so much for coming out to see us. Thank you so much for investing, your time and energy to come and talk to us about this, because no one else will. Everyone makes assumptions that we can't have these conversations. Everyone kind of, has these pictures about what they think is happening in our town, and what we're saying is that we're ready to do this. We need some help with that, but we don't need people kind of patronising us or be scared, being scared, too scared to come here. So thank you very much. So I actually had a much better reception than I thought I was going to, based on what everyone else told me was going to happen to me in places like Western Australia and Northern Territory.
That's actually one of the things that is, I think, very special and unique about people who live in country areas, is that they want a conversation, and they want to actually have the chance to meet people and talk to them. There's, you do face a lot of homophobia in the country, though, don't you?
Absolutely. There is no doubt based on everything that I've heard and also the research evidence that's been coming out for years that regional and rural areas are tough and are, you know, a challenge and often, you know, like for many of the reasons such as lack of visibility and role models and, you know, any kind of LGBT community infrastructure. But you're right about that thing about wanting to have a conversation. You know, often people kind of, you know, might get sent resources and they kind of get lost in their in-trays or they hear about training and they haven't actually met the people who are running it when it comes to their town. But, you know, by me going in for a week, I've been spending a week in each location to kind of, you know, foster these conversations. You know, the focus is always, let's have a cuppa and let's have a conversation about this. And it's through those conversations that, you know, you actually get that everyday change happening and people saying, well, gee, that's something I could take on board and do tomorrow. I'm not interested in kind of strategic plans for 5 to 10 years. I know there's lots of other people who are working really hard on that. What I'm interested in is what do we do in the meantime? And all these people who are saying, look, campaigns are one thing, strategic plans and all the rest of it another. We want to do something right now. We've got this happening in our classrooms and in our schoolyards right now. What can we do? And I guess that's what I'm trying to do something about.
Now, you're running a bit on the smell of an oily rag just looking at your funding here. And obviously you've put a lot of time and energy and cash into this yourself. What's kept you motivated?
Look, what's kept me motivated is that, you know, I mean, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to continue conversations that haven't happened for a while, or to start up new conversations, because I know that that's where change happens. And a lot of people say, well, gee, you know, I want to do something about homophobia, but I, you know, can't necessarily drive around the country for 38 weeks. And what I say to them is that, you know, what keeps me going is that I'm trying to kind of, you know, I've been working in this area for kind of 12 to 13 years, and, you know, my kind of everyday kind of, you know, networks has expanded a little bit. But, you know, if I go into a particular place, you know, people are going to then have conversations in their workplaces, in their schools, with their friends, with their family. And that's where the real change happens. I can drive around this country 23 times, but unless people start talking with one another, then we're really not going to get that much, you know, of a difference. The thing that keeps me going, I guess, are, you know, people's stories. You know, I've heard so many, you know, fascinating and heart-wrenching and uplifting stories as I go around. And that's the stuff that keeps me going, is the interactions with the people. And if I didn't think that there was, you know, change was possible, and if I thought that this was too hard and it was, you know, it was something that we couldn't tackle, I think I would have given up after probably week two or week three. But here I am, week 34, and you know, this is something that can be done. And that feel-good kind of story is something I want to, you know, tell as many people as possible.
You're with the Also Show on Joy 94.9, and this morning we're talking to Daniel Whithouse.
So, Daniel, do you still need help from people? I mean, can people go online and donate anything at this stage to help you get through these last 4 weeks, or have you pretty much stitched it up?
No, look, absolutely. I mean, you know, I've got an astronomical kind of diesel bill that's sitting there. I've got, you know, leasing on a truck. I've got, you know, all these expenses, and, you know, it doesn't, like, I've been doing it kind of on the smell of an oily rag, but it's still, you know, it doesn't come absolutely, you know, cheaply. Absolutely, if people feel that they want to donate, you know, anything to the tour, they can certainly go and do that, and it's a tax deductible donation through Uniting Care Cutting Edge, which has shown its support for this project right from the start.
And where do they do that?
That's at www.thatssogay, all one word, .com.au.
thatssogay.com.au.
And if they go there, but also what I say is that, you know, one of the big surprises of this year has been the generosity of spirit that I've found from people. So it's not just money that people are donating, it's their time and energy, it's, you know, cuppas, it's meals, it's their home. You know, I think I've estimated that about kind of $15,000 to $20,000 worth of accommodation has been donated just through people hosting all around the country. You know, people have been giving me really good contacts and leads about people to talk to and schools to go to. Like, all of these things, it doesn't necessarily have to be of a financial kind of, you know, monetary value. It's, you know, people's time, energy and kind of commitment can do wondrous things as well.
Thanks a lot, Daniel.
And thank you, Daniel, on behalf of everyone here. It's wonderful what you're doing.
And coming up soon, the Greens. What's in it for us?
Welcome back. You're listening to The Also Show with Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis.
Indeedy. And we're very happy to welcome into the studio this morning Kathleen Maltzun, who's a member of the Australian Greens Party. Now, Kathleen, you're probably better known for the work that you've done in the Philippines, sort of in the early and mid-90s, about, you know, trafficked women and the Filipino sex industry, and also in Australia working with initiatives against violence against women. But here you are standing for the Greens. Now, most people, I would assume, who've gone through all that would kind of have lost their faith in democracy somewhere along the line, but you haven't. How have you kept it?
Well, I guess the thing is that when you do a whole lot of work outside formal structures and outside Parliament, you know how much it matters to have people inside so that when you've done all your work, you can give it to someone who's going to make a difference. And I guess that's the thing for me that I've seen where people in Parliament have responded to stuff I've worked on, and I've seen it when they haven't. And so I'd like to be able to be the person inside so that there's someone that the community can handball to.
What do you reckon your chances are for Richmond in the upcoming election?
Look, it's probably better for other people to talk about our chances, but we just won a federal seat in that area.
Yes, I know, so, and that was a 4-point something swing, and I looked at the numbers.
It's a 10-cent swing.
Yeah, well, it was more than 4. That all he needed was 4 points.
Yeah.
You need 3.64, apparently.
Yes.
It's looking pretty good.
Look, it's looking like it's a possibility. It's certainly, if you're voting in that area, you're not wasting your vote. If you're voting Greens, it's a pretty powerful vote, we think.
What do you think is the reason that people are coming across to the Greens in such big numbers? Because if anything, the federal election was about victory for the Greens in many ways.
Look, I think that we've just got a whole lot of pretty common sense approaches to things. I think people think it'd be nice to do something on climate change before it gets too much further down the track. I think, particularly for people listening to Joy, it doesn't make a lot of sense to not be responding to things like gay marriage, whatever your views on marriage, that whole sense of equality not being progressed in the mainstream parties. I think people like the idea, you know, the Greens taken a compassionate approach to things, and for a long time it seemed like those three things and that general approach has been a bit peripheral. And I think people are seeing now that you can vote, you can put Greens in, doesn't have to be peripheral. So that's my sense.
So in terms of, you know, our audience and our interests and the fact that you're standing for state parliament, what sort of, you know, GLBTQI queer, I always get that wrong, don't I, Crusader? He's much better
at that.
There's
no way of getting it wrong, Kath. You just keep on adding letters.
I keep losing the drift on that one. But in terms of those sort of issues, what sort of platform are you offering for us in the run-up to the election?
Well, I'd say for starters, you know, probably everyone wants to be able to get on the tram or train in the morning, regardless of your sexuality. So there's a whole lot of stuff that works for everyone. look, we've stood in Parliament against a whole lot of discriminatory stuff. So there's been things in the past Parliament, for example, the government brought in legislation around discrimination that allowed education institutions still discriminate against single mothers and gays, lesbians, etc. So we've got a track record of standing against that. I think some of the issues that we're interested in the next Parliament are things like adoption being open, everyone being able to apply to adopt a child, regardless of their sexuality. There's an interesting issue for people who are interested about marriage, about whether there's a role for the state parliament in that. In the past, we had a marriage act in Victoria. I hope that the Greens will be successful in getting marriage put back so it's not dependent on your sexuality in the federal parliament. If that doesn't happen, there's a role for us. And I think more broadly, we would support initiatives in schools, say, so that kids have access to education that supports them if they're queer, gay, lesbian, etc. And although there's been some shifts in the past, I don't know that the education department's doing a lot about that at the moment. It tends to be individuals who are doing the running on making sure that kids in schools are safe and supported. I think just us being there talking about those issues would make a difference.
Yeah, particularly with the state government at the moment, I think the GLBTI community has had an extremely just fortunate position, particularly around areas of health and justice, to be getting quite close to government ministers and to MPs, etc. However, you're quite right, the education and a range of other services are just not getting looked at. What do you think would be what's the best way for us to take a broad-based GLBTI approach to a state government to get across a range of platforms?
Well, I think one of the beauties about having seats that are contested between the Labor Party and the Greens is that those sort of issues are going to be on the agenda in the lead-up to the election, and getting people to make commitments in the lead-up to the election doesn't always work, but it is useful. And I think that's very different from if you've got seats being contested between the Labor Party and the Liberal Party, and no one's going to want to talk about queer issues. So just the fact that there are a number of inner city seats with a lot of people from the queer community who are going to be voting means that from the beginning those issues are there. I guess I think that I'm a lesbian. I'll be talking about those issues in Parliament because they matter to me. They're part of my community. And although there have been some out gay men, I don't think there have been any out lesbians. Just having more gays and lesbians and other people from the queer community in Parliament helps that relationship.
You're with The Also Show on Joy 94.9 with Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis, and we're talking to Greens candidate for the seat of Richmond, Kathleen Molson. I see here that you've also published a book called Traffic, which was about the trafficking of women as prostitutes. Now, these are very difficult issues. Have you seen any positive change in this area since writing the book and feedback that you've got?
Absolutely. When I came back to Australia and started going into brothels, doing outreach and meeting women who'd been trafficked and talking to them outside brothels, other women outside brothels. At that stage, the federal government said there was no sexual slavery in Australia. The police would hand women over to the immigration department if they found them. The immigration department would put them in detention and deport them. And for a long time, it looked as though that wouldn't change. And we ran a very, very big campaign, and to my amazement, the Howard government actually reversed a whole lot of those things. They removed mandatory detention for trafficked women. They put in a support program. They gave the police a whole lot of money, and the federal police really started responding. So I guess that goes back to your question earlier about, you know, would you be scared off from, why haven't you been scared off from Democratic participation? Actually, that campaign really showed me if, you know, it's the cliche that a small group of people working really hard on an issue can sometimes make a difference.
Now, one of the questions that I want to ask everybody that comes into this show at some point in the show is, how do we start enlisting the straight community in our battles? How do we actually get them on board? Because they're not turning up to our equal love rallies. They're not coming to a lot of our events. Midsummer's still pretty much a queer-only sort of outing. So, I mean, how do we start sort of spreading wider?
I guess you won't be surprised that I'm going to give a sort of a partisan approach. I think they vote for the Greens. You know, I think that a lot of people who voted in the federal election for Adam Band were voting on gay marriage and, you know, straight young people. And that was very interesting to me. I mean, I think in many ways people in the queer community have quite ambivalent view to a whole lot of things, say, around how we progress equality with things like marriage. But I think in the straight community, young people just go, yeah, of course you should be able to get married. They're not as ambivalent about marriage generally. And so I really find, with all the young people coming into the Greens and voting for the Greens, they just take for granted that whoever you are, regardless of your sexuality, you'll have access to whatever it is. And so, I mean, I guess to me, whether or not people turn up to events in some ways, I guess also would have a different perspective from this on me. But, you know, that's not necessarily the main thing. So long they will support you where it matters. And I guess I think at the ballot box it really matters. So I think people are there.
Mm.
Thanks very much, Kathleen. That's been fantastic talking to you, Kathleen Molson, and best wishes for Richmond.
Thank you.
Right now, you're with Also on Joy 94.9. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to be talking about a new theatre company called Metamorphosis that's opened up.
Thank you. We'll be right back. And welcome back to The Also Show. You've got Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis here, and we're about to be speaking to Jesse Lewis and Dina Curie.
And these guys are from Metamorphosis, new theatre group, and aiming to nurture young, raw talent and produce socially aware theatre. Perhaps you could talk a bit about how you're going to go about doing that.
Okay, so we've been asked this question quite a bit lately.
I bet.
Doesn't get any
Everyone
easier
wants
to explain.
To know.
So basically, it's about looking at society and stories and issues which are prevalent. You know, it might be to some people the gay marriage debate at the moment, and then it's sort of weaving those into a creative practice and a medium on stage, and then discussing it through those sort of mediums rather than others.
Now, Jesse, you've been performing for quite some time.
Yes.
I'm assuming that the group of people you're gathering together have also been performing here and there
Yeah, it's banding together and getting all the voices together to create a stronger one as well. But also we're looking to get those people who might not have had the opportunity to perform in the public arena and actually be able to mentor them in some senses as well, and sort of create a stable ground from them from which they can grow from.
Now, we know there's going to be a launch tomorrow night, which we're going to talk about in a second, but when is the first planned performance for Metamorphosis?
We'll be opening on December 1st in the Collingwood Underground Arts Space, which is in conjunction with the Collingwood Housing Estate. It's called My Bottle of Dark Desire, which is going to involve a few performers, including myself.
What a dark piece you're saying here.
Yes, quite a dark piece.
It's a fabulous venue if anyone hasn't been to Collingwood Underground Car Park.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. Subterranean, dark, just up my alley, I suppose.
And Dean, could you tell us a bit about your involvement?
I'll be performing tomorrow night at the launch. And I basically am just a supporter of Jesse's. I've gone and seen some of the things that he's done, and he does some really intelligent and creative pieces of work, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what Metamorphosis does and what it can build and grow into.
So Metamorphosis is launching tomorrow night at the Glasshouse Hotel. We've got Jade Leonard, Dina Khoury, Wolfgang Bass, Kay Sara, DJ Big Mac, and there's more. But how did these people come about to come along and support you?
I put the word out there, and they're people that I've worked with in the past, and they've supported me and I've supported them, much like Dean and I have done. And I think we all probably realised that there was a need for this theatre company to come about for the smaller voices, and I think that's how it was born. And I think tomorrow night's going to reflect something which is going to grow and change into the future.
Now, Jesse, if I can say, your pieces tend to be a little bit bent or, you know, sort of left of centre. But it's obviously also really important for your for the theatre company to have kind of like that whole sexual health message and sex positivity. How are you getting that over?
Absolutely. I mean, we do deal with sexuality a lot in our pieces. It's prevalent and it comes up quite often. So it's about being intelligent and smart about incorporating those, and then incorporating the safe sex messages into the storyline, and also displaying and distributing material at our events, which we'll be doing from here on in with our partnership. So, I mean, there's many ways, and as the future comes along, we'll think about them further.
The two of our guests today that are here today are both being supported by the Take Care Out There project, which is a sexual health awareness project that's been run by the Also Foundation, that's been funded by the Department of Health over a 2 to 3 year period. Now, the idea around this is that we actually get messages across without hitting people over the head with it, and we get peer-to-peer sort of spreading of it. Mm. I'm just sort of wondering, do you think that does it actually detract from your art to be putting those sorts of messages in?
Absolutely not. I would disagree with that wholeheartedly. I think that, as I said, arts is a great medium for social messages to be put together in, and I think that it actually probably enhances it in a lot of senses.
And Dean, you've got a show coming up on Thursday at the very wonderful K's Bazaar in St Kilda Road, St Kilda.
Yes, I do. I'm performing my kinky cabaret To Sir With Glove. Yes. There.
Which puts singing back into S&M.
It does put the singing back into S&M, and I will be performing bits and pieces of that tomorrow night, and it does work in well with the safe sex messages that will be given.
Well, you've got a glove on, so that's
exactly.
A good start.
Exactly. A glove always makes the difference.
Yes. And so that's running for 3 nights, is it?
Yes, this Thursday to Saturday. Yeah.
And if anyone who hasn't been to Kay's Bazaar, Kay Sara has also been a supporter of Jesse in the past. His last show was on there. But it's a wonderful little venue, and it's probably unique in Melbourne in terms of its atmosphere. It's like a butterfly club, but with more class.
Oops. And Dean, I'm just looking at you now. How do you get dressed up to do your piece? Dean's a very attractive looking fellow.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'm just interested. Do you like to drag, or do you come on as yourself? Or
I will come on tomorrow
anyway.
Night. I'm going to be in I'm planning to be in a top hat, harness, chaps, and jeans. Is my thought so far. But you know, I could get a bit excited and vamp it up.
It gets better as the clothes come off.
Can I just ask? I don't know if you guys have regular partners or whatever, but How have you found partners and lovers dealing with you being so, you know, like available on stage and out there and naked or doing whatever? How do people cope with that?
Well, mine have been quite fine with it because I'm quite the extrovert in my personal life as well as my public life. Uh-huh. So it's par for the course. You know, they expect it and then they just roll their eyes.
And what about you, Jesse?
They don't really.
They don't handle it?
No, I've given up on love.
Oh.
But, you know, that's okay.
At 21, that's probably sensible.
It's just that I've heard that a lot from artists, that you can have, you know, you develop your own creativity and you can network and so forth, but your love life can be a bit rocky.
Yeah. Next question. No, I suppose it's okay. I mean, creativity really becomes your first love, if I can say that.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it takes up a lot of time, and I think that can create drama as well.
Yeah, I
but
suppose.
Moving but moving right along. I understand you had a bake-off the other day as a fundraiser. Did it work? Did you get baking?
Yeah, that was for Pride Month Victoria, and I heard they raised just over $4,500, which
Talks.
Is excellent for the organisation because they do a lot of positive things for the community as well.
And are you still looking for artists to join Metamorphosis?
Yes, absolutely.
It's like an expanding
Yeah,
circle.
Ever. It's like a sponge. We're just going to sort of, you know, soak them up. As they come along.
Have you got any overriding principles or aims that would help work out who you want to have in?
Not really. We're just going to grow and let it grow organically. So,
but you are aiming for younger people to
younger
get involved.
People, yeah. Body beautiful, not at all.
is queerness sort of like the bottom line, or are you open on that too?
Open on that as well. I mean, it's a targeted demographic, but in saying that, we've also got to work outside the lines if we are going to work towards the social change that we want to create. So obviously we've got to work with everyone in the community.
Well, thank you very much for joining us here in the studio, Dean and Jesse, and good luck tomorrow night. I'll be there, and we hope to see Metamorphosis blossom.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you. 20 to 12, you're with The Also Show with Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis.
And on the line at the moment, we have Natalie Zeibung from the Lick Parties. Good morning, Natalie.
Natalie.
No.
Natalie.
I'm here.
Yes, yeah, you geez. Are there. Good. So how are you going there?
Oh, I'm nice. I'm just sitting here in my office looking over King's Way. It's a beautiful day.
Sure is.
Sure is. Now, how long have you been running the Lick Parties for?
It's only been just under a year. It's actually creeping up to our first birthday, so it started all last December.
Oh, right. And I know that you've also done a Lick Goes Live at the Glasshouse. How did that go?
It went fantastic. It was our first one, and I wanted to do something different to the club parties, and I wanted to do something a bit more relaxed and chilled for a different type of crowd. I've just noticed a lot of talent out there in our community, and handpicked beautiful females to perform at Lick Goes Live, and they were very, very well loved.
It's one of the things that I think we really need in Melbourne is a way of actually getting a list and a network of all those wonderful performers, because if it just relies on who you know, you don't really connect people very well. So let's have a chat about that one day.
Definitely, I agree.
And what can a punter expect at a Lick Party?
Well, we offered two rooms of music. So one room has R&B and hip-hop for those that like that kind of music, and the other one has commercial house and techno. So for those type of for girls that like that type of music as well. So we try and I try and do these parties with the attitude of leave no one out, so everyone can come and enjoy themselves. They can move around between the two rooms. There's also a chill-out room that they can just hang as well and chill with their friends and talk. We also have competitions because I love giving stuff away. And we have, competitions. They're very cheeky. One of them's a kissing competition as such. So, yeah, it's very good. It's very
How do you judge the quality?
Yeah.
How do you judge the quality of a kiss? Is it the length?
Huh?
How do you judge the quality of a kiss? Is it the length of the kiss
the
or
crowd
what?
Judges. The crowd judges.
Really?
So everyone's involved, yeah. So, you know, for the louder they are, the louder they are, the couple wins.
Oh, wow. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, so it gets everyone involved, and again, it leaves no one out. Everyone's kind of having fun and, yeah, getting in there.
Now, you're obviously from the States or Canada?
No, I'm not actually. This accent is an international school. I went to an American school when I was living in Southeast Asia. I was in New Zealand. I moved over to Jakarta, went to school there for 3 years, came back with this ridiculous accent.
Wow. Wow, that's great. You're a really well-travelled person. What got you wanting to run parties? Because some people say it's such a chore, others love it. How did you get into the game?
I started going out to different clubs when I first came out, and I only came out about 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm 28 now, so I haven't been out for long. And I started going to parties, and I just wanted to, just create my own and create my own little comfort space, and then, share it with everyone. So the idea for Lick started 4 years ago, but I never really didn't know where to start. And now it was only a year ago that I met up with my old business partner. We started talking, and she gave me the push and the kick, really, to kickstart something. And I had the right networks and the right support group around me, and I just kind of, just made it happen. If you really want to do something, you just go and do it.
Now, I know that Lick has been supporting Also's Take Care Out There sexual health project. How did this come about, and how did it manifest itself at Lick?
Well, it was a few weeks ago that I was talking with some friends as we were going through magazines, and we saw these ads and campaigns about staying negative and the trouble down under, and these were all sexual health campaigns, but they were targeted for men. And I just said to my friend, I've never seen anything for women, about us being careful, and the same rules do apply for us being careful out there when it comes to sexual health. I just got talking to someone from the Also Foundation, and she, Gabrielle, mentioned that there was a project called Take Care Out There, and I just wanted to get involved and push that that awareness.
And do you find that women are receptive to the sexual health message, and they just haven't been spoken to before properly?
Well, we receive, yes, definitely. I spoke to a few girls at Lico's Live too, when it was on Sunday, and they said, we never knew that you could, that there was all this stuff out there about how easy it was to contract diseases in the lesbian and bisexual community. But it is definitely as easy as it is for men that it is for women. I'm glad that there is a project like that we can kind of know more about and push out there.
And an interesting statistic is that lesbian and bisexual women, or women who have sex with women, on average always have many more male partners in their life than traditional heterosexual women do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes up to 8 times as many male partners.
Goodness
in
me.
Their lives.
Well, I don't know that.
I blush.
In that respect, and we do need this project to be more out there, and would love to pass the message on, really.
So perhaps you could tell us a bit about the next Lick event.
So the next Lick is Friday the 26th November, and we have a new venue, which is Room 680 in Hawthorne, which is a very beautiful, sexy venue, and it's recently been refurbished, and it's got 2 rooms, and it just works perfectly, and it's got the usual dancers. Our lovely dancers will be involved, and the competitions will be back. A novelty and a trademark from Lick is we hand out status wristbands. So at the door, you can choose from green for single, red for taken, and amber for however you want to portray amber, really.
That's like a hanky code for women.
It is.
Yeah, so it's a novelty thing, It's not compulsory, but everyone loves it, and everyone kind of enjoys the idea of knowing where we all stand, really.
Wow, what a great idea.
Has Lick ever thought about doing a leather Lick?
A what?
A Lick for leather.
Ooh, that sounds kinky.
Yeah, that's the idea, I think, yeah.
That's never crossed my mind, but let me dwell on that.
Oh, good.
I do dwell.
I will. But, yeah, the next one should be fun, and I'm talking to a great artist from the UK, and I'm wanting to bring her out here. I won't say who it is, but, it'll be very exciting if I can bring her out here and be a part of the Lick party on Friday the 26th November.
Fantastic. You'll have to tell us first. Give us the exclusive.
I will tell you off air. It's a secret.
Oh, no worries. Oh, okay. You're with the Also Show, Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis with you on Joy 94.9, coming up to 10 to 12. And in just a little while, we'll be presenting the What's On.
And thank you very much, Natalie, for your time today, and good luck with Lick.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the Also Show with Crusader Hillis and Kath Duncan. Now, Kath spent the weekend in Sydney.
I did.
And while she was up there, she went to a conference which was called Femme in the Frame.
I was so excited. This was the inaugural Femme conference in New South Wales. I would say it's probably the first in Australia, but I'm not entirely sure about that, run by the Sydney Femme Guild. It was an amazing day. They had a party as well, but I didn't make it to the party. There were sort of 2 days of workshops and sessions and stuff. Just everything from feminism and femism, a history, through to how to take out a bully with the contents of your handbag. There was sort of theory stuff. There was a token butch woman who talked about the gift of the femme and stone sex. I just sat there, just boggled the whole day. And next week, we're going to be presenting one of the Dirty Melbourne girls who was there, who's going to be talking to us next week about what happened. And it really went off.
Fantastic. And there's been a lot of femme action in Melbourne for a long time and quite a strong gathering down here. So I could imagine there were a few of them would have been up there.
Yes.
Now I'm going to be telling you a little bit about what's going on and also a little bit of information and some news. We've heard that Metamorphosis is launching tomorrow night at the Glasshouse. Be there from 7 o'clock. It's only $20 and it's going to be worth the money. Dean Akuri's To Sir With Glove at Kay's Bazaar, which is in St Kilda Road. Also Seniors, Vintage Men are having a film get-together on Monday, October the 18th, and they invite the seniors of the community to watch The Last Station, which is set in Russia, and it's at Acme Cinema, and you meet at Acme Cafe at 12:30 p.m. Also arts, we have Family celebrating 20 years of the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Chorus. So the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Chorus, along with the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Youth Chorus, present We Are Family on Saturday, October 16th at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. at the Darabin Arts and Entertainment Centre. The Spikers Melbourne Spikers are celebrating 25 years with a masquerade ball. That'll have something for everyone. Sunday, 17th of October, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Shows begin at 7 p.m. All the details will be on the website also. Now, also housing. Same-sex attracted transgender intersex lead tenant position available. Family Access Network run 2 emergency accommodation for queer youth, and they're going to offer you free rent, no utility bills, all the rest of it, for you to be the lead tenant to live in a house with these kids. So please look that up. Also, directory sales are on now, and so get online and have a look at that. And we've got a free professional development workshop on sexual health and diversity run by Gateway Community Health Wodonga on Thursday the 25th of November from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. And also want to announce that there are some new educational scholarships for LGBTI youth. The Pinnacle Foundation, now in its second year, are offering scholarships and mentoring to lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgendered youth who are experiencing marginalisation because of their sexuality or gender identity. But the big news this week is the case against the Christian Brethren by Way Out has been resolved in VCAT, and it's a win for Way Out. If anyone hasn't heard about this, a few months ago, Way Out got in touch with the Christian Brethren's Christian youth camp down on Phillip Island, and they were knocked back from being allowed to use the camp because they were coming from a rural youth suicide prevention program for queer kids. And wow. They took them to court and they won. And the Christian Brethren did not get to use their religious exemptions because basically they were running a business and they were not being very careful about all the other people they said yes to. So that's actually been one of the big things that has really been exciting in the last few days, because it's actually quite a groundbreaking decision for all LGBTI people.
Fantastic. Thanks, Crusader. You've been listening to The Also Show. Winding it up now, I'd like to thank our guest today, and particularly the Gazman, sitting there pressing all the buttons. See you next week.
Goodbye. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.